Shogger, I don't know if I've ever seen something where there was almost like complete agreement from fans. They all wanted to see the Nugent Hopkins Drysdale Yamamoto line back together, and they will get their wish tomorrow night.
Yes, he will. I thought Tippett was interesting today. You know, he doesn't like being asked about this. I'm assuming that based on his reactions. And this goes back to the play-in series where, you know, after a few games we were asking him about it. Then the start of the year this year when we were asking him about it. And then when things weren't going great, we were asking him about it. And he just, you know, for some reason it feels like one that kind of bugs him. And so I asked him about it a few weeks ago. You asked him about it last night. And then finally today when he made the change, he wasn't really going to go into a lot of detail about why. He basically just said, you know, hey, not producing and got to figure something out. Like, he was just really short with his answer. So, for whatever reason, it took him a little while to get to this point where he wanted to do this. Maybe it's because Puljujärvi is giving them valuable games and it doesn't feel like it's just one line loaded up that way, the way he described it before. I'm not sure, but this is long overdue in my opinion, and have felt that way for a while.
Now, I could see when you're 11-2, there's really no reason to do it, right? And your team's scoring goals like no tomorrow. Well, now all of a sudden they're not scoring.
Year? Remember earlier in the year when they when they were struggling?
Yeah. I thought that was more defensive errors than anything. You're right, the team wasn't scoring, but they were so brutal defensively. I think that probably had to do with no preseason, right? He probably gave them the benefit of the doubt for the first few games. And they did recover after a slow 1-3 start, right? They finished that month going 4-2, right, after their first four games. So he probably kind of just said, hey, I'll be patient, as a coach does. But now, hey, when you go back-to-back shutouts, and really, Shogger, like, yesterday's game was probably worse as far as offensive chances than Saturday night.
But this is the thing, and then we'll get off of this, but this is the thing. So this line worked, right? They just went through six periods where they didn't score a goal. Why not go to this in the third period of the first game against Toronto? Why not go to this halfway through last night's game against Toronto? Like, why the drastic measures of waiting and waiting until you've gone two games without scoring a goal to finally do it? If this is a solution, why wasn't this in the third period of the first game the other night against Toronto? Right? Like, that's the part of this I don't get. I have a lot of respect for Dave Tippett, and I think he's a good coach, and he handles so many things really, really well, and it's, you know, but this is one that I don't understand. Because if this line plays together and it works, and they play well and they generate and they can get even two-thirds of the clip they were at before, then I just don't know why the stubbornness to not have done it in the third period of the first game when you're getting shut out or, you know, halfway through the last game. So there's a stubbornness there, and I'm not sure where it came from, but we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, we will see what happens. I was cautious, everybody. Like, you look at players over the last 3 years, Connor McDavid's at 2.79 points per 60, which is, you know, top five amongst forwards in the NHL. And Drysdale's tied for ninth, I think it is, at 2.79. You look at the orders, like, that trio was red hot at 3.22. They're not going to score at that pace again because no line does. But because Nugent Hopkins really is producing like well below even his career average this year, it makes sense to switch him up because for whatever reason, him and Drysdale have more success than him and McDavid do. And not just, you know, not just in that 20 span of last year. If you go back over 3 years, he's had more success with Drysdale than he has with McDavid.
But it was a run of 26 games where, I mean, this was not a little, you know, 10-day run that a burner that this line went on. This wasn't a little like, oh, yeah, that line's really clicking for a short period. There's 26 games. 28 goals for, even strength, and 8 against over a period of 26 games. That's not just some little blip on the radar that's a funny little anomaly. They were one of the best lines in the game for the better part of 2 months. So, I don't want to understate how good that line was. I don't think it's – I think you got to keep your eye on the ball when you're describing it. They were a dominating line. So – he's going back to it now, and we'll see what happens. But 28 even strength goals for, 8 against.
Oh, yeah. No, hey, it was good. Now, if you think that that's realistic to do again, awesome. I don't think it is, but we'll see where they go.
But what I said was even if they can get to two-thirds of where they were at before, that's still a dominant line.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you're right.
So the measure doesn't need to be do they get back to the same rate they were at before. They haven't played together in a year. So probably they won't. Like, they haven't played together in a year. So maybe they won't, but we'll see what happens.
Well, last season, was when they played 20 games together, then Yamo got hurt. And their first game back together, granted, that was only a week later, that was the night Drysdale scored four goals, and their line had three of them at 5-on-5. So maybe it'll be instant chemistry again. Maybe they've got, like, this bromance between the three of them, and it works out very well. The owners are going to hope that it does. Defense pairings, Bear with Nurse, Larson with Jones, Russell with Barry, basically back to what it was on opening night, Ryan, because last night, like, hey, it's tough enough being a rookie defenseman. It's even harder when you're on your offside.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry, I'm watching Leafs practice right now, and there's three guys working on tying up after dropping the gloves and fighting. I'm trying to see who it is. I got the binoculars out here right now. It looks like Bogosian and, sorry if this is bad radio, Engvall's over there. Is that Hyman?
Is it Dermott?
Yeah, actually practicing fighting. At practice.
Yeah, well,
23-49.
Yeah, that's Dermott, because remember what Josh Archibald said to Dermott when they were skating off? First shift next game, right? Yeah. He was yelling at him at the bench. So, there was quite a bit of animosity there, and first shift next game, that's what I love about this. I thought we'd see more of it, so hopefully that happens. I would love it if Archibald and Dermott, first shift tomorrow night when they face off against each other, are going at it. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm working right now, so you're actually going to hear me double-check with my camera guy that he is shooting that. So, sorry, we're kind of doing live stuff here. Hey, Parker.
Anyway, I'll get to some other quick things on the orders.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead, man. Sorry, go ahead.
James Neal was skating today with McDavid and Jesse Puljujärvi. Dominic Cahoon, not on the ice, only said deemed unfit to play, which was what you were saying at the start of the season before COVID. But once it's COVID, then there's technically, legally supposed to say that it's COVID. So what do you make of Cahoon's absence of practice?
Yeah, I'm not sure. So you got James Neal skating in the top six and taking some reps on the top power play unit, which caught my eye. Puljujärvi was the other forward that took reps on the top power play unit. So if Cahoon is in, does he go in with McDavid? Like, was Neal placeholding? You can tell when a guy looks like he's placeholding at practice. That's not how James Neal looked. Neal looked good today. He was skating fast. He was sniping. Like, he looked good. He looked ready to go. So I'm not sure, you know, where his level of being cleared is at. But yeah, with Cahoon not being out there, I'm not 100% sure what to make of it. You know, you heard what Tippett said. And, I guess we'll have to see if he's out there for morning skate tomorrow. Tippett has been really vague though on the injury stuff. He's really aired really far on the side of not wanting to get into things too much.
Yeah, and that's fair. I didn't see anything from Cahoon in the game. I might have to go back and watch some of his final shifts. But it also looks like, you know, Chiasson, I'm guessing, is going to get suspended from the NHL today. And so he'll sit out a game. That's just my guess. I thought it would only be a fine, Shogger, but I'm changing my mind because I'm always wrong. So I'm going to go with the game suspension. And we might see Turris and, you know, one of Nygaard or Shore as well. So we could see end up three lineup changes with Russell coming back in as well.
Yeah. You know what I think would have happened? I think if that happened in the first period and he'd gotten booted out of the game, I think it's one of those ones where they'd say, okay, yes, time served. But because it happened at the end of the game, you know, I think they're going to feel like he needs to pay a price for that, I think. You know, so I think it'll be a game as well. And we'll see what happens on that fourth line. Like I like the idea of injecting the speed that Nygaard brings, but it's not like he's gotten a ton done when he's been in there. So I don't know. I mean, obviously Tippett likes Russell and always seems to, you know, he's gravitating towards him the last little bit. I'm not sure. I thought the third line had some really good shifts last night. The Caroline, I thought they were tenacious and did some good things. They were emotionally engaged in the game, I think, too. So I thought that was one of their better lines last night. You?
Yeah, they've been fine. You know what? They've been pretty consistent in what they're doing. And, you know, they're not giving up a ton of goals against either. And they're creating some chances. You know, Archibald brings some energy. Kara's being involved. So, yeah, I wouldn't switch that lineup. And yeah. I thought on Saturday night, the fourth line was pretty good. Last night, not so much. And obviously, they're not supposed to be the guys carrying the offense. But when you get shut out back-to-back games and you've got so many extra bodies, it's kind of easy for a coach to make some moves and see, like, you know, can Kyle Turris follow in the footsteps of all his other teammates who spent time in the press box and then came back and played really well? Mike, like, do you put Turris at center or do you keep Haas in his speed and then just switch up the two wingers?
I don't know. I mean, Gaetan Haas is going to have to win a draw at some point. Like, it's, you know, Drysdale's having to come on the ice to take all the penalty-killing draws in their own end. They like parts of his game, but he's going to make himself a lot more usable when he can bear down and start winning face-offs. So, I don't know. I think I like him at center because I think he skates really well and I think he's all over the ice at a really high pace and Turris isn't. So I prefer him at center, but I'm not sure what they'll do.
Yeah, I could see it. On the defensive side, you know, the first goal, it's unfortunate. He loses his stick and then he kind of freezes and stands still. And that leaves enough time in a quick, fast paced game for Hyman to get open and score. The second goal, the face off in the neutral zone, probably not the best reaction, but he got back. That's a savior goal he has to make. I'm sorry, but you know, you look at it, it's probably a tough situation, but for a lot of people that were like, Bouchard has to play. I think the last few games defensively will show that, hey, if he's going to play in the NHL, I would hope it'll be on the right side. And it might just not be right now just yet on a good team.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple schools of thought here, right? There are those that believe that he's ready now, and it's just you're gonna have to naturally go through some growing pains with young defensemen, and you gotta just be willing to play him through it, and those are the needs to be an every night guy crowd. I think there's a certain type of mistake that you have to, you know, you can't just play a guy through night in, night out. Right, so if he's continuing to make a certain type of mistake, then it's okay to give him some nights off, and it's okay not to have him. This team should be in a place where they expect to win every night, and it's about winning before it's about development. That's where they should be right now. And with some of these decisions, you know, look, a head coach being reluctant to play a young rookie defenseman with lots of potential, it's not a new story in the NHL. So, yes, Koskinen needed to make that save. You could also make the argument that, you know, if Bear's a little more aware in that situation, he helps out. And if Bouchard is a little more aware, his stick is in better position to not let that shot happen. So there's it's a tough go, right? First two goals, and they're both just stand, like, they're both out there. That's tough.
Wow. Ethan Bear still, he doesn't look as quick as last year, Shauger, just yet. You know, maybe the concussion plays part in it. I don't think he, you know, to me, still looks like he's a little bit heavier than what he was last season.
Yeah, could be. You know, and I think one of the things that was really noticeable about him last year that stood out was the quickness that he was able to generate, you know, that wasn't there before. And, yeah, I would agree. You watch him play now, and it's not quite at the level it was at last year. And last year was a huge developmental year for him where he gave himself every opportunity to have that development. It's not quite there so far this year. It's a different year, right? It's a different year where a lot of things were different for a lot of people. The amount of time they could spend on the ice, the way they could train, you know, different quarantines, decisions on where to be when. There was a lot of different things that people were faced with in an effort to get ready, and maybe some handled it better than others.
It's possible, but, you know, they're going to need him. And I'll just say this. Toronto, they've used their foot speed, and they're checking with their sticks immensely well these two games.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, the skill guys for the Oilers get the puck, and they've got a couple guys around them, and they've all got real good sticks that are just kind of, you know, suffocating the time and space, and not, like, McDavid likes to, you know, rush up ice and he likes to get it between the blue lines. That's where he likes to take possession of it. He doesn't like to necessarily, you know, always start with it in his own end, but then he hits the offensive blue line and he either goes or he pulls up and makes great plays. And we saw last night he was able to go with it a couple times to the net, and it was dangerous. But where they're really stymieing them is when they pull up, when they pull up on those plays where they pull up and start looking around to make the Toronto forwards are coming back hard and breaking things up. The D-men are standing up and not giving them that second where they get to survey the situation and find the right play. They've just done a really good job in the first 10 feet of the blue line, not giving the Oilers the space that they usually feast on.
Schauger, do you think Matthews is going to play tomorrow?
Well, they just did some line rushes, and he was skating with Thornton and Marner. So, I mean, based on that, yes. But as I'm watching him shoot the puck, like, there's not much in his shot. So I don't know where the line is between, okay, you know, there's probably certain things you can do to get it ready for a game that you wouldn't do for practice. So maybe it'll be better for him tomorrow night than it looks like it'll be today. But based on the way that line rush went, I would say it looks like there's a chance for sure. A better chance than there was yesterday.
And Mike Smith's going to start tomorrow, I'm guessing?
He was in the starter's net. So actually, we never asked Tippett that today. We had a few other things to get to, but my guess is that it'll be Smith tomorrow.
Well, hard not to. The first goal, I don't blame the goalie, but the second goal, you got to make that save. And two out of the last four starts, Gossman hasn't been good.
Let me ask you this. If you put Mike Smith in net to start that last game and the exact same thing happened, would he have been pulled after the first? And would he be given the chance to get back in there because he's a battler? Right?
Well, Smith did get pulled in a recent game. He only played 22 minutes, and Koskinen came in against Winnipeg.
Right, but I think he had four goals against there, right?
Yeah.
But remember the night in against Vancouver when he had three against, including the one real soft one?
Yeah, that was the first one, right? But the next two I didn't think were really that bad.
Right, so Koskinen had the one for sure, yep. The one. And then one of them was debatable, the other one not at all, right? And so he gets pulled, which is, I'm not saying that it was the wrong decision. I'm just saying that he handles Smith different than he handles Koskinen. Smith would be going back in, I believe, after a performance. Like, do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I see it. As a parent, you don't treat every kid exactly the same in every situation. You just don't,
yeah.
Right? Like, there's certain personality traits that are different that go into the decision-making process. And
for sure.
If I look over from January 2020 until now, that's a bigger span, Mike Smith's numbers are better than Mikko Koskinen in pretty much every metric. So, and especially the way Mike Smith has played right now, like, mm-hmm. You could go back. You know, if Smith had played poorly, he probably wouldn't get the benefit of the doubt, and you go to Koskinen. Like, look at Mike Smith. He played 26 minutes in the playoffs, the most crucial time. He never got a game in. He never, even after game three when Koskinen was meh, he didn't get a game in. So
he couldn't go back to him in that series after the way it went to begin. No, he wasn't going back to him in that series.
Yeah. I guess, but so my point is, I think at different times, it's not always a fluid motion, but to me, it's a no-brainer. When I saw Koskinen last night, I was like, yeah, I'm going to Mike Smith, just because Mike Smith right now, like, he didn't let a goal when he came in, right?
Yeah.
And when Koskinen came into relief for Smith, he still let in some goals, and Smith didn't let any. Granted, he wasn't tested a lot, but he didn't let any. So I would go with Mike Smith because over the last few weeks, Mike Smith has been better. And really, over the last 14 months in the regular season, Smith has been better.
Yeah, you look at Koskinen's last two starts, and I'm not saying they should start Koskinen. I'm just noting the difference in the way the two of them are handled. There's a difference, and I'm not even saying that's wrong. I'm noting it. But if you look at Mikko Koskinen's last two starts, I think he stopped 40 shots and 41 shots or 42, right? And Tippett has always said this team is best when they get both guys going. But they rode the hot hand in a way where Koskinen ended up with one start in, 10, 12 days? And so it'll be interesting to see if that benefit of the doubt that Smith has been getting and that push that Smith has been getting, if Tippett doesn't back off of that a little and try and get more of the blend that they intended to have all along.
Schauger, we will see what happens tomorrow. Should be interesting to see how the orders bounce back. Have a good one.
Okay. Yeah, take care, pal.